Hey, all you metalheads out there, welcome back to the show. I'm DJ Lovely Laura, little Alice in Chains going out to Nikki in the chat room. All right, well, I have a very special guest with me today, lead vocalist Kevin Gutcher from the band Phantom X. These guys have a brand new CD out, just came out January 26th, and you guys have all had your chance to win this CD and the awesome t-shirt over here in the chat room. We gave our first one away to Frosty, and we're going to be talking with Kevin about everything that's going on right now with the band. And this great album that he has put out. All right, let's say hello to Kevin Gutcher, everyone. Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, DJ Lovely Laura?
Not much, man. I'm here back in Texas.
Cool. Texas is good.
Yeah, I didn't know that you didn't live in Dallas anymore. When I was talking to you earlier, you were talking about you're in L.A. now. What's up with that?
Yeah, I live out in L.A. With the reality TV stuff that I've been involved with, And of course, Phantom X was featured in the latest the Anvil movie. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the Anvil movie. What's it called? Anvil, the story of Anvil. We were in that. It opened up some doors here in Hollywood. So I was traveling back and forth. It was just time to, I had to decide. You know, was I going to go out there and try and do something with this opportunity, or was I going to, do what I've always done and stay in Dallas? So it's been tough on the band because they're still in Dallas, but I've been going back and forth and with them, and it's been cool. It's been working out.
I did see the documentary, the video about it, but I haven't actually seen the movie. How can people go about seeing that movie, and what did you guys do in that with the guys?
Actually, the whole thing was we were on tour with Anvil in Europe as they were filming the movie. And, I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy tour. We had the Anvil's manager / booking agent, not really either, in my opinion. It was just crazy. She had us going everywhere. I mean, one day we would have a booking in Sweden, and then we had 24 hours to get to Spain, which you can't get from Sweden to Spain in 24 hours. I mean, it was just that kind of tour, so it was crazy, but we had a great time. And the documentary is almost a history of Anvil, but it has a lot to do with that tour because so many years later, we're all still struggling trying to make it in the metal scene, and Anvil's one of those bands that is so deserving it's not even funny. But success has eluded them. Up till now, things are much better for them because of the movie. But we're in the movie because we were on tour with them, and they're great guys. They just played Dallas. That's one way to see the movie. What they're doing is they're playing the movie, and then they're not doing that anymore. I guess they're just playing. They were doing a tour where they were playing the movie, and then they would play after it. But I guess they're just doing Anvil tours now. But that's cool. But you can also pick up the DVD.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So that must have been a lot of fun. Were you a big Anvil fan back in the day?
Oh, of course. I still am to this day. I mean, they were one of the bands that were influential on me early on in my metal career, they're just good, heavy metal. I don't know what else to say about them. Lips and Rob and G5, they're just great guys, So it was a total and absolute blast to go on tour with.
All right, very cool. What a great experience. I bet something you can put under your belt for history there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this killer album that you guys have out. I love it, Kevin. It's really awesome. It's called This Is War. Tell us about the making of this new album. Is this, how many albums are out now by Phantom X?
This is our third CD, and we're very, very extremely overly excited about the new CD. It's just, in my opinion, it is by far the best recording that I personally have ever been involved with, ever. It's just the best one. Everything came together, the production, the songwriting, the band. I mean, we've got a couple of new members in the band. We have a new drummer, Reese Stanley, and a new guitarist, Bill Ingfer. And it's just night and day, the difference in having some new blood in there, guys who are really passionate about their playing and about their songwriting, and we all get along, and we all think alike, we all have the same influences. It was just a great experience, and I love it. I'm not trying to be egotistical, but it's really a good record. I'm really, really proud of it.
Oh, yeah, it's a great record. Have you been with Phantom X since the first album that came out?
Yes. Actually, Phantom X was kind of put together with the bass player Glenn and I. Omen was taking a break and not really doing anything for like a couple of years. And so I went out to kind of guest vocal with the band that Glenn was playing with, because their vocalist, I guess, was thrown in jail or something. They needed somebody to come in and sing. And so me and a couple other guys come out and did songs, so they didn't have to cancel their gig. And this is in Dallas. I mean, so there I was playing, and a local DJ in town was hosting the show, and he came up afterwards and said, "Man, y'all do that Dio stuff really, really cool. So y'all should be like a Dio tribute band." So we talked about it, and that's exactly what we did. We decided to become a Dio tribute band, and that whole situation was just meant to be fun and have a good time, but it turned into us writing originals, which turned into a record deal, which turned into Phantom X.
Very cool, very cool. So you guys are working now, I guess you're on Paris Records. Have you guys always been with this label, or is it just came up with this?
This is our first record on Paris Records. We're real excited about the record company, too, because before we were on Mausoleum, and Mausoleum is a record label out of Belgium. And, you know, it's just hard when you're dealing with people across the seas to, you know, be one of their bands that they're going to put a lot of attention to, you know.
Right.
It was real tough. So it wasn't the greatest situation for us with Mausoleum. It was definitely time for us to move on, and that's exactly what we did. And with Paris Records, I just think it's the best deal that we could get. You know, I love it. They're paying attention to us. We're a priority, and that's where you want to be. You know, on a label, you can be on the biggest label in the world, but if you're number 100 on the priority list, nothing's going to happen for you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So we're real excited about being on Paris.
Awesome. Okay, you guys, tell me a little bit, Kevin, about who's in the band now. Who's the official lineup now of Phantom X?
The official lineup. Well, it's me, and it's Glenn Malachy on bass guitar, and he's been with me from the very beginning. We're partners in crime on this little venture, and we have a couple of new guys. We have Reese Stanley on drums, and he is just a powerhouse guy on those drums. Something that I think Phantom X have been lacking in the past. And also we have Bill Ingfer on guitar, and that's another thing. You know, in the past our guitar has been a little bit on the bluesy metal side,
right?
And now we've got full on. This is a metal player that we have here finally. So it's just it all came together for us. We're real, real excited about what's going on. I just can't tell you.
Awesome, I can tell, man. And your voice is great. I'm so excited for you guys too, and glad to have you on the show as well. Now I want to talk a little bit about the theme based around this album. I was looking at the album cover. Is it kind of the good angels fighting the falling angels? I don't know what's going on. Is this a part of what the songs are about, or what's going on with this theme?
It has a little bit to do with the songs, especially more so than any of them, Chaos and Paradise. That is the original war. I mean, if you go back and you read in the Bible, you know, Lucifer's falling into the pit of the abyss and becoming the Prince of Darkness. I mean, before any of that happened, he was one of the revered angels of
God. Right.
And so that's what the whole thing is about, is that original war where Lucifer's army of angels were fighting against God's army of angels, and we all know the story from there. But that's pretty much the basis of the CD artwork, the cover, the title. This is war. It's the original war.
So who did you guys work with as far as the artwork goes, and who produced this album?
The artwork is done by Jacek. Now, I'm probably going to mess up his name. He's from Poland. Grawiski? I can't say his name. But he is a great, great artist, a very underrated guy. He's just now coming up through the trenches. He's done a lot of stuff for comic books and video games, you know, that type of artwork. And so when I found him, you know, I don't think he had done a whole lot of actual album covers at that point, but I thought it turned out awesome. It was exactly what we were looking for, and he's a great artist. Let's see, production. Oh, I can't even begin here. It's done by JT Longoria. Now, JT works out of Nomad Recording Studios in Dallas, and JT is famous for working with King Diamond and and working with Merciful Fate, Candlemass, Solitude Alternus, I mean, all of these great metal bands. And we've worked with him on the last two records after we did the record before This Is War. I mean, I just knew that this is the guy I need to work with. I don't need to mess around with anybody else. He gets our sound. He knows exactly what we're looking for. And in a weird, strange way, he's kind of the fifth member of the band. When we go into the studio, we listen to everything that he has to say, and his production skills are undeniable and incomparable, and that's the truth.
Very cool. He did a great job, I have to say, both those guys. And I want to talk a little bit. Let's go back in time. You're 14 years old, Kevin. I read up a little bit on you. You started writing. Let's start from there. Tell us how you got involved in becoming a musician.
Okay. Yeah, I started early on because I was interested in sports, and I was interested in motorcycles, especially motorcycles. So I was I did a lot of dirt biking when I was younger, and I had a motorcycle wreck when I was 13 years old.
Wow.
Well, eventually, it dislocated my left hip. Eventually, I had to have pins put in my left hip, and I spent 25 years that way with you know, the pins in my left hip.
Oh, wow.
But it stopped me from doing sports, and it stopped me from being a motorcycle rider. I had to find something else to do, and the next thing that I was interested in was music, you know, rock and roll, listening to the radio. And you know, so I picked up the guitar. I can't tell you how many countless of hours that I spent in a body cast laying flat on my back learning how to play the guitar. You know, there was nothing else for me to do but that and watch TV and homework, and I definitely wasn't going to do the homework,
right?
So, it was playing guitar, and that's where I got started. And in all honesty, my father was a music minister all of my life. So I spent my life in a very, very strict upbringing. And so my first band was a Christian band. We played Christian music.
Wow.
So that's how it all started for me.
Very cool. So you started in this Christian band, you started writing. And I noticed that you write for a bunch of different genres, not just rock and roll.
Yeah, now, especially, you know, my child and I were on the reality TV show with Danny Bonaducci called I Know My Kid's a Star. It was on
VH1. Yeah, I remember that, but I guess I missed that episode when you guys were on
it. You know, there was only a couple of fathers, and the fathers went first because the TV show was definitely looking for drama with women, you know, the cat fights that were going on. Men
right.
Don't fight the same way that women fight, and they wanted that. But so we weren't there very long. But with that whole thing, my daughter ended up getting a talent agent out here that was reputable and a reputable manager. So we were going back and forth with that as well as what I was doing, you know, with the Anvil movie and the TV stuff that I was doing too. It was just smart for us to come out here, you know. So where was I going with that?
Well, I was just...
Yeah, I write a lot of stuff for her because, she, you know, she wants to be a pop singer. She's not really into the metal thing, even though she's actually got a bunch. I've made her get up and sing with me a couple of times, do some Iron Maiden or whatever. But, yeah, I've been writing for her and a couple of other artists as well, and not metal at all. You know, they're wanting country or they're wanting pop or they're wanting whatever. And so I'm giving a go.
So are you writing for any big names that we might know?
No, not right now. You know, as far as a songwriter, you know, the biggest name that I write for is Phantom X. So, you know, hopefully other people will catch on that I do other things besides metal as far as songwriting is concerned. I'd love to write for anybody who wants to sing some of my music.
So how did you guys, what did you have to do to get on that show, that reality show? Did you guys have to send in a tape, or how did that all come about?
It was kind of strange. I mean, we went through different channels than a lot of the other contestants that actually got selected for the show. My mother-in-law, my wife's mother, actually found an ad looking for people to audition for the show.
Okay.
So she sent it over, and we followed up. I mean, we contacted the casting people, and within 15 minutes, we had a phone call back.
Awesome.
Of Devin and, of course, the heavy metal dad. And I don't know, I guess we were kind of a shoe-in because, you know, most of the other contestants were the moms, But I think they were expecting me to be a little crazier, maybe a little more irresponsible on the show. And, you know, just because I look like a heavy metal singer and I act like a heavy metal singer doesn't mean that I'm irresponsible and a bad parent. And I just couldn't do it, you know, because some of those parents...
They're crazy on there.
Yeah, it was a bit more than I was going to, you know, let go of, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, they kind of just really pushing them really hard, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't see myself going home and facing my child and her looking at me like, what were you doing? What was up with you, Dad? You know what I mean?
Right, and we're live. And what was it like working with Danny Bonaduce? Because I was watching that other reality show where he was just a mess. So, I mean, was he really like that when you guys worked with him? I bet he was totally different, wasn't he?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I know he has a drug and alcohol problem. But he was well beyond that at this point. You know, he had gone through that with the Breaking Bonaduce reality
series,
you know, and that might end up haunting him for a long time, you know, putting all that out there for the whole world to see. But with us, he was totally cool. He's a very nice guy. We got along great, you know. As the host of the show, he didn't spend a whole lot of time with the contestants. That wouldn't have worked out too well, you know. But the time that we did spend together, he was totally on top of his game. He truly is, believe it or not. You wouldn't think it, but he truly is a great actor. He's a great host. He, as far as TV land,
right,
top of his game. He knows what he's doing.
Very cool. All right, you were talking about getting your daughter up on stage. I was watching that video where y'all did Wasted Years. That was so cool. What does she think about Dad being this rock and roller? And was she gung ho for that in the beginning, or did you have to kind of push her to get up there and do it, or?
No, you know, with Devin, you know, she wants to be a performer. So when she gets the opportunity to get up on stage, she never shies down from it, ever. Now, she gets nervous. We all get nervous. We all get those jitters right before we go on stage. But, you know, she gets up there, she grabs that microphone, and, you know, this 12-year-old girl, and at that time when she did that video, she was just 9. So,
wow.
You know, 12 years old, she grabs that microphone. She sounds like she's 21, 22. She's well past her years as far as, you know, her experience level and her talent. So she loves it. You know, it's not necessarily the kind of music that she wants to do, but I've been in bands even before she was born. So she's been around it all of her life, all of our kids, you know, they know about it. They understand it. They've gone to gigs. They've seen me play. It's, you know, it's no big deal to them, you know.
Right. So before, or I think during the same time you were a part of the band, a lot of the people remember out there is Omen, and you had to fill some pretty big shoes of J.D. Kimball. What was that like for you, and how did you get to be a part of Omen?
It was really, really, really tough. I'll say this right now, and I've said it before. J.D. Kimball is an awesome singer.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the band long before I was ever in the band. And the opportunity to be in Omen arose because Kenny was putting the band back together. He had his son was singing for him, as a matter of fact. But he had a couple other musicians in the band from Dallas that I had known, especially Andy Haas, the bass player. He and I mean, we kind of grew up. We were in the trenches together as far as metal musicians in Dallas. His band was playing, my band was playing. We did some shows together. We were always in competition with each other, but we were always friends, you know?
Right.
So when the opportunity came about that they needed a new singer, my name got thrown into the hat. And, you know, the rest of that is history.
So playing with Omen and everything, did the fans, did they react to you when you first started with them very well, or did you have a good response from the fans?
It was real tough because, you know, I think with me and the band, we did a couple of festivals here in America, but things kind of turned around when we started touring in Europe. And so there were huge, huge comparisons with me and JD. You know, all you can do is just fight on through, continue to sing and perform the best you can, and hopefully you're making fans along the way. And sadly, it wasn't until JD passed away that some of the people that compared me really hard to JD actually gave me a break. I mean, you know, their comparisons weren't there anymore. They were fans of what I added to Omen, and I appreciated that, you know, and hopefully they appreciated it too.
Yeah, I don't know why they compare. You know, when a new guy comes along, I don't think that they should be, you know, looked at as the same person. I just don't really understand that. They need to come with a new, fresh look to me, you know, at someone that's going to be joining the band. And maybe it does sound a little bit different, you know, but I guess fans, diehard fans, are just not like that sometimes. But it's good they gave you a break, so that's good to know. Now, you're from...
and, you know, just to add on to that, you know, diehard fans, I mean, they listen to those albums day in and day out. You know, this is their favorite band, this is their favorite songs. So when a new guy comes in, oh yeah, they're going to be put through the grinder. You know, that's just the way it goes. And, you know, I don't have any hard feelings about that. I wanted to sing the songs for the fans and sing them to the best of my ability and have them think, well, you know, it's not J.D. Kimball, but it's Kevin Gutcher, and it sounds good. I'm cool with it.
Right.
So that's all I could ever ask from them.
So, how long were you in Dallas, Kevin? Because I've been around this area for a long time. And how long have you been in? Were you in Dallas before California?
Oh, I lived in Dallas all my life. But you know, there was like 10 years of my life. You know, I guess from 84 to 94, I was on the road. I played in cover bands, and we played all over the United States. We'd be in a town all week. And we played 1-hour sets every night. And I did that for 10 years of my life. And then I finally, it just clicked. Hey, I'm not going to become a rock star playing all this other music. I'm going to have to write my own. I'm going to have to be in a band who plays all original music. So I ended up coming back home. And that's where my head was at that point. I haven't looked back. You know, it's always been about, yeah, I'll play some covers, but it's about writing your own stuff and getting it out there, and hopefully people dig it, you know.
Right.
I played in a lot of cover bands. I started out in 84 in a band called Sheer Threat, and around the Dallas circle, there's some people who know about it, but you know, I want them to know about Phantom X.
Right.
You know?
But it's not bad to remember your humble beginnings. And the reason why I was asking all that is because I wondered if you ever got a break and you were out here back in the days of like Joe's Garage, Savvy's, Metalworks, Dallas City Limits. Were you around at that time when those places were really...
I played all those places.
Oh, okay,
I mean,
cool.
When I first started playing out live, especially with Sheer Threat, I mean, Pantera had you know, they were playing clubs too. They were wearing the big hair and the spandex back then. I mean, we all played the same places. I did shows with Pantera long before, you know, before they even had Phil Anselmo as singer, back when they had
Terry Glaze. So, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I did tons of shows with those guys, and you know, of course, they went on to become absolutely huge. And killer band, a great band from Dallas, you know.
Yeah, they really were. I'm actually from Arlington. I used to hang out with them a lot, and we used to call them Glam Terra back in the day because they weren't metal at all, not really.
Yeah, you know, I remember hearing them do, you know, stuff like Motley Crue, Livewire.
Yeah.
But they also did Seek and Destroy by Metallica, which I, you know,
right.
That's kind of what you did back in the day. Is you know, it wasn't original music when we all first started out. If you
right.
weren't playing covers, you weren't getting to play.
Yeah.
So the metal bands who really loved it, you played just enough of the glam stuff to be able to play in Dallas, but you could go to Tarrant County and you could play nothing but Iron Maiden and Metallica and Slayer and whatever else you wanted to, and nobody gave you a hard time. But clubs in Dallas were a little more difficult to get into. You know, they liked to hear the ZZ Top and stuff like that, so you had to throw that in too.
See, that's why I love my show, because I mix it all up into one sweet metal glam ball.
You know, good music is good music. I don't care if it's glam metal. I don't care if it's, you know, hardcore thrash, whatever, death metal. Good music is good music, you know?
Right.
And I think that metal listeners, you know, I hate it when people think, well, I only listen to this type of music, or, you know, they only listen to the lighter stuff. You know, you got to mix it up. It's like a buffet. When you go to the buffet, you want to have a little bit of everything. That's okay. It's good for you. It's good for your soul. It's good for your metal soul.
Right. Well, I'm sure, you know, Sheer Threat sounds so familiar. I'm sure that I probably, you know, saw you out back in the day. And I still even remember Donnie Hart that played with Pantera very briefly. And he's got a band out there now, too, that I go out and see, a progressive power metal band, I guess. And what I want to talk about, let's go back to Phantom X. What do you want to see? It looks like you guys are getting some really good media response, and definitely from the listeners over here, definitely are getting a good feedback. So what do you want to see happen for this band?
Oh, man, are you kidding? We want to take over the world. I mean, that's the deal. I mean, you know, if you're in a good band and you have pride in what you do, I mean, that should be your objective. You want to make the best music you can. You want to get out there to the masses and play to everyone that you can play to. And you want them to accept your music. And that's what turns a bar band called Iron Maiden into the arena packing
right.
called Iron Maiden. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we want to do big things, or we wouldn't be doing it. I'm definitely not a weekend warrior. This is a big part of my life, and always has been. I've always been very, very headstrong about direction of the band that I'm in, you know.
Right.
I just want big things to happen. So you have to have, you know, you got to make good music. You got to make good records, and that's where it starts.
Very cool, and you guys are definitely doing that. All right, let's talk. You're doing a great job. Let's talk about NAMM. Did you go out to NAMM this past year?
Yes, we did. It was fun. It was my first time to ever go to NAMM. I saw people from, you know, Dallas there. I don't know if you know Mongo from Hillbilly Orchestra. He was hanging out.
And, yeah.
And, of course, Benny was out there, and he was signing autographs. You know, the line was, you know, 50 million miles long that you had to stand in to get an autograph with him. But, I saw a lot of people. Got to talk with one of my favorite drummers, Benny Appice of Heaven and Hell, you know. Ronnie James Dio is my hero, and he's got stomach cancer, and
yeah,
very, very, very sad, you know. So
was he out there?
He wasn't there, but I got to ask Vinny about Ronnie, how he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
They have dates coming up in April in the UK, so they're, you know, he's trying to recover in time to do those dates, was what Vinny told me. So, you know, it was awesome out there at the NAMM show. I mean, you know, music galore. It's all around you. You know, all these rock stars, all these famous people.
Yeah.
People, you know, music enthusiasts. You know, it's just filled with music enthusiasts. If you're a musician or you love music, man, it's just an awesome place to be in, you know.
Yeah, I bet, especially for your first time. I haven't had a chance to go out there yet, but we did have one of our DJs go out there and talk with a lot of people. So a lot of parties going on probably after the shows as well.
Of course. it was full on, you know. There was always a bunch of drinking going on. I ended up going with a bunch of local musicians to go party and hang out, you know. I had a blast. We had a blast. You know, I can't wait for next year's NAMM show. You know, you go the first time and you learn what you need to do the next time it comes around, you know?
So, right. Do you think you guys will be, maybe by the next time, you guys will have a booth out there for your band as well?
Well, you know, in actuality, our members have endorsements. So what we probably are going to try and do is go hang out with the musical instrument and gear people that we endorse, and, you know, sign autographs and maybe do clinics. That's in the works. That's the things that we're working on to make happen for the next NAMM show.
All right, very cool. We wish you the best of luck with that. I want to know how you guys came to the name of this band. How did you guys come up with Phantom X? What does that mean?
You know, I think I was the one who came up with the name. Of course, you know, the band members, you get to decide whether you want that name or not. But it was the one that was most metal sounding to me, was most old school metal sounding to me, that we had to pick from. And, you know, people who follow Phantom X and have all the records, they know that we're writing a story. There's some chapters on the first record. There's some chapters on the second record. And there's some more chapters on the new record, This Is War. And it's about, it's basically a story about the Phantom. And so it ties in, the name ties in with that story, Phantom X. You know, it just made sense. The whole thing came from a dream that I had. And
wow, a dream?
Yeah, it was a very, very strange dream that I had. Now, I've embellished it some because, you know, in a story, usually when you dream, you only remember certain parts. So
right.
the rest has been written. But, yeah, the original idea was a dream that I had. And I dream in science fiction and horror because that's the stuff that I like to watch on TV and the movies. And, you know, I like to read stories about that type of stuff, which...
So you're kind of...
It inspires my lyric writing.
Oh, very cool. So you're kind of filming and making up your own movies in your head while you're sleeping for the album. That's cool. I like that.
Well, you know, that's just the way my mind works. And, you know, I'm sure that eventually I'll end up in the loony bin because when I'm 70 or 80 years old, my kids are going, Dad, you're not writing these songs. And where's the stuff coming from? We're putting you in the loony bin.
All right, Kevin, let's talk about some upcoming shows. Do you guys have any tour dates right now going on?
We do. We do have tour dates. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing stuff in Texas. We'll be doing, I think, Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston on April the 16th through the 20th, I do believe, which one of the shows is going to be a Texas Metal Festival.
Awesome.
They're in Dallas, and it's going to be an all-day event with proceeds going to Children's Miracle Network.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, and of course we have California dates, I do believe, are being worked on for May, and also Mexico. We're going to be playing the Baja Metal Festival. That will be in May as well. And then we're working on Puerto Rico and South America, and then Europe for September is the projected time frame.
All right. Sounds great, man. It's been a pleasure, Kevin, having you on the show. I'm definitely going to try to make it out to the Dallas show to come meet you guys and see what's going on with the band. And I want to thank you so much for the CDs and the T-shirts. The fans are all tuned in and in the chat room. And I want you to say something out there to all existing Phantom X fans and maybe some new fans that you got out there today.
Cool. Yeah. If you know about Phantom X, you already know that we love you. You're the reason that we do what we do. If you just got turned on, hey man, come on board. Let's have a good time. It's all about metal. It's all about having some drinks and partying with the band. And join us.
All right. Before we get out of here, Kevin, I want you to give them the website and the MySpace address so everybody can go and add you up over there.
Cool. The website is www.phantom-x.net, and the MySpace website is www.myspace.com/phantomxmetal. And of course, you can find us on Facebook as well. If you contact us, we do contact back. We send messages to everyone who contacts us. So, come on, right? We need friends.
That's right. All right, you guys. Hold on 1 second, Kevin. It's a pleasure having you on the show today. I'm going to get back to the music. We're going to play some more stuff off of This Is War, their brand new album by these guys. It's available online and at Best Buy. This is Into Battle We Ride.